I was just wondering. Wait. I was just wondering why I couldn't hear myself. You've got to turn the microphone on. It's one of those ones where you've got to turn it on. Oh, gosh, my headphones are all over the show. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to everyone listening. It's almost 5 o'clock. And, of course, we had Chris Luxon did a live press conference just a moment ago. It was recorded on RNZ. He's talking about paying back all this business. What I like about Chris today is he seemed very relaxed with the media. It was nice to see. Nice to see someone relax, not like Ardern. Gosh, she used to look like a bundle of nerves, didn't she? Bundle of bones and nerves. Goodness gracious, she didn't like the media at all. I'll tell you another person that likes the media, and that, I can't remember her name now. Name was gone. Anyway, it'll come back to me. Old age is creeping up on me. Now, what have we got for you today? Well, I thought I might have a look at the news and see what's going on with the news with the world at 5. It is 5 o'clock. Look at that. It's still 5 o'clock. Oh, that's perfect, isn't it? This is just an impromptu, and the only reason why I'm in here doing this, talking to you, is because it's raining outside, and you can't do much work on the farm when it's raining, because we melt. We're like sugar, aren't we? Made of sugar. Us blokes, Kiwi blokes, made of sugar. We're the only good thing we're good for using our hands is to rub moisturiser on them and other naughty things that people do. Which is what Katie Hopkins said. She's very naughty. No, she's on in the morning, actually New Zealand time, 9 o'clock. Well, it's probably, I don't know. I get confused with daylight saving. Yeah, she's on at 9 o'clock, 9 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. That's Katie Hopkins. You want to make sure you hear her. She's always got a thing or two to say. And as a result, she's just about cancelled everywhere she is. The only place she's on now is TNT Radio. They have a Greenwich Mean Time, 9 p.m. Well worth having a look at. Now, let's get the program underway. So I wasn't planning on doing this, but why not? Let's do it. Let's get cracking.
Would you call yourself a socialist?
No.
You've never told a lie in politics?
No.
See, somebody sent me a video actually last Friday, and it had you talking at the socialist meeting.
Oh, right. Yes.
And you mentioned the word comrade about four times in a minute. What was that about?
It was a rally, and I would have been about 25 years old.
Comrade. It was in 2009.
Oh, well, I can't remember which country it was in.
Has it changed since those days?
No, not particularly. No.
If you are caught in a lie or caught intentionally misleading the New Zealand public, how would you expect to be held to account?
Well, I actually believe that it is possible to exist in politics without lying.
We drum in that messaging around the dangers of COVID pretty diligently for a full 2-week period of sustained propaganda.
Oh, I don't know how that slipped in. Sorry about that. We're just about there. Just a minute.
How dare you?
Oh, sorry.
You have stolen my dreams.
I know.
My childhood with your empty words.
I know.
You're listening to Grant Edwards, 88.1 FM, The Wireless, the world at 5.
Ah, good afternoon. I hope you're enjoying your drive home. Oh, yes, it's lovely, isn't it? Anyway, it's time to wake up. Actually, no, that's the wrong one. The one we want is the, it's time to finish. We're all finished, aren't we? Yeah, we're finished. Let's do it. And then we'll have Sky News come. And then we might even listen. We'll drop in on Radio New Zealand News, see what they've got on offer, and also the New Zealand Herald as well. But first, we'll go to Sky News.
News breaks.
Winds gusting 60 and 80 knots out there.
We take you there.
5,000 requests for help.
Live.
It's going to come up around about my waist if I continue to stand here.
First, with breaking news.
Open the front door and thought, oh my God.
Trees that have fallen, cars that have been caught up in flooding water.
Anytime.
We're just going to take you live now to Parliament House.
Anywhere.
Live now to outer space by NASA.
Breaking news happens here. This is Sky News.
For the first time, the United States has joined the efforts to airdrop humanitarian aid supplies into the Gaza Strip. 66 pallets containing 38,000 meals were dropped after President Joe Biden said more needs to be done to ease the humanitarian crisis. Victoria is on the edge of further budget cuts. According to the Herald Sun, the arts and grassroots sporting groups could bear the brunt of funding costs as the state struggles to control its debt. Government sources say the Daniel Andrews private office ignored ways to reduce spending during his time in office. Rating agencies predicts Victoria's debt to hit $247 billion by 2027. Special powers have been granted to police during the ASEAN Australia special summit in Melbourne next week. Victoria's Supreme Court has signed on the anti-terrorism measures, which have not used or not been used in the state since 2006. Police will have the power to search and move on people, as well as implement a ring of steel around some CBD sites. Around 140 world leaders are expected to attend the conference, where business and climate change are expected to dominate
talks. Actually, no, that's the wrong...
New South Wales police officers could have their movements tracked through radios and firearms. According to the Sunday Telegraph, senior cops are seeking GPS tracking approval of officers following years of debate. They say the measures could have assisted investigators in tracking the police-issued firearm allegedly used in the murder of Jesse Baird and Luke Davies. There are calls for caravan owners to undergo a licence test as the industry booms across Queensland. The request to force drivers to acquire special licences comes after caravan ownership surged during the COVID pandemic. According to the state government, 50 fatalities were recorded in accidents involving cars towing trailers or vans between 2017 and 2021. The Caravan and Industries Association has backed calls for special licences. Western Sydney residents will benefit from Penrith Beach a little longer. The government says the new beach will stay open until Anzac Day as warmer weather lingers around the Sydney Basin. Around 5,000 swimmers continue to visit the former quarry turned lake each week, despite it being scheduled to close this week. Almost 20,000 people have visited the site, opened in December last year. A woman has died at a popular hiking spot on the Gold Coast. Crews were called to Lamington National Park in the hinterland yesterday afternoon, where it's believed the woman fell about 20 metres into a watering hole. It's understood she was trying to retrieve photographic equipment when she slipped and fell. A report will be prepared for the coroner.
Is that it, mate? Is that all you're going to do? Oh, that's it. You finished? No, you can't just finish. Oh, there's something wrong with the program. Wonder why that finished so quickly. Anyway, we better play a little tag for you. It's 5 minutes past five. Good afternoon. Hope your afternoon's going well. Drive carefully, won't you?
Staying across Australia's local news when you're overseas has never been easier. For important headlines, Travelling Aussies stream Australia Channel. $6 a month with no lock-in contract. Sign up now for a free week-long trial.
In the past several times, you have denounced the World Economic Forum and you've made it clear, pledge that if your party forms government, you will ban your cabinet ministers from being involved with the World Economic Forum. Yet, I'm also aware of many Canadians who applaud you for saying that, but also have reservations on whether or not the claim is authentic because they see images of your name being on the World Economic Forum site, and also because you worked closely with former MP John Baird, who at one point was a World Economic Forum young global leader in a campaign. For those concerned about foreign globalist organizations potentially encroaching on our nation's sovereignty, does your pledge to ban cabinet ministers from being associated with or involved with the WEF expand to those you hire as staff as well as advisor?
Yes. No staff, no ministers, no MPs in my caucus will be involved whatsoever in that organization. It is a group of high-flying, high-tax, high-carbon hypocrites who all got on their private jets to fly off to a remote ski village where they talked about how working-class people should not be allowed to heat their homes or drive their pickup trucks. I'm not going to work for a group of globalist billionaires who serve their own interests at the expense of everyone else. And I'd like to specifically point out Mark Carney. Here he was celebrating the central banks who caused the inflation by printing trillions of dollars. Multimillionaires like him could have their asset values inflated while the purchasing power of working class people and seniors was wasted away by inflation. A massive wealth transfer from the have-nots to the have-yachts. We will bring home control of our democracy and we'll make this a country that works for its people, the common people, and the common sense of the common people united for our common home. Thank you.
Very good. 7 minutes past five with Grant Edwards on The World at Five, and that is the opposition leader in Canada doing very well. Brought to us that news item. That was brought to us by Rebel News Media. Rebel Media. Coming up, New Zealand news just in a moment.
This is the most offensive claim that can be made in the realm of religion. Here it is. There is only one God, one Savior, one true religion, one holy book, one gospel, one way of salvation. All other religious claims are lies, deceptions, doctrines of Satan and demons that lead people to eternal hell, along with all the immoral, irreligious, atheistic, hedonistic, naturalistic unbelievers. It just happens to be the truth. That is the exclusive truth of Christianity. Even within the professing church, any deviation from the true gospel of grace is a damning lie to be cursed.
And that's why the world hates us Christians.
In this morning's New Zealand Herald headlines, health campaigners blast David Seymour's latest appointment. Auckland City's worst choke points revealed as March Madness sets in, and why Israel won't take part in the next round of ceasefire talks. Ngā mihi, I'm Shuri Kinnear. It's Monday, the 4th of March. A push to keep free lunches in schools going, despite an inkling it won't be funded past this year. The $160 million program provides meals to about 220,000 students across the country. But ACT leader David Seymour's been put in charge of the initiative in his capacity as Associate Education Minister. It's spending he called wasteful in the past. Health Coalition Aotearoa says his appointment raises doubt about the program's future. They've reached out to Seymour to set up a time to speak. Auckland Transport's revealed which parts of the city's network are set to be the worst choke points as March Madness kicks off. AT is putting on more and bigger buses as the university year beds in, predicting a particularly busy month. East Tamaki to Green Lane northbound on the Southern Motorway and Greville to Esmond southbound are some of the worst morning choke points. In the evening, Princess to Green Lane northbound and Central Motorway Junction to Highbrook southbound are some of the worst. Meanwhile, slower speed limits are being rolled out across a number of state highways north of Auckland, beginning in the far north. NZTA is altering speed limits on short sections of the highway network from 100 kilometres an hour to 80, focusing on locations through townships and close to schools and marae. Changes to five sections of State Highway 1 kick in today. The remaining changes will be delivered throughout this year. Israel won't take part in the next round of ceasefire talks until Hamas provides it with a list of which hostages are still alive. Mediators and Hamas representatives have already arrived in the Egyptian capital, Cairo, for talks on a six-week pause and the release of more Israeli hostages and Palestinian prisoners. It comes as concerns mount about the amount of aid reaching the Gaza Strip. Speaker Jerry Brownlee is standing by his decision to withdraw student journalists' access to Parliament. The Aotearoa Student Press Association's long-standing membership to Parliament's press gallery was revoked last month, with some students calling it a war on student journalism. But Brownlee says it's about security as he undertakes a review on who has swipe card access. He says student journalists don't come to Parliament enough to warrant a swipe card.
I don't think it's unreasonable. And I don't think in the future that if someone has a need for a once-a-week visit to Parliament, that they're going to be able to get a card.
And autumn is greeting Kiwis with heavy rain and thunderstorms as a trough of low pressure closes in from the west. Met Service is predicting heavy rain for western parts of the South Island and another lashing for the central North Island. The bad weather comes after Aucklanders were belted yesterday afternoon with heavy rain as a cold front stalled over the city. And those are the latest New Zealand Herald headlines. For more news worth knowing, head to nzherald.co.nz.
And that,
kia pai te rā.
Kia pai te rā. Yeah, cheerio there. Rangi toto and to you as well, lovey. Now, we've got some weather coming up in a moment. What are we up to for time, Grunter? Oh, I don't know, 12 minutes past. Hey, Digger. Yeah. I've got my characters mixed up. I'll be back in a minute with the weather, all right? There we go.
There's a play in London's West End has confirmed that at least two performances will ban white people from the audience. Now, this play deals with slavery, and the producers are having what they refer to as blackout nights, where only people who identify as black will be allowed to go, and I quote, experience and discuss an event free from the white gaze. We've only got 40 seconds, Evelyn, but this is just racism.
It is.
Pure and simple.
It's racial segregation under the guise of racial justice. It's fighting racism with racism. Next, they're going to have separate schools and different drinking fountains. That's like we've been here before.
Yeah, I know.
And, you know, there is a demonising of white people. We've indoctrinated everyone to think white guys are always the bad guys. And we've just got to snap out of it because, like I said, you can't fight racism with racism.
Indeed.
88.1 FM, the wireless weather.
Righto, let's look at the weather. Let's look at the weather. Just turn that down, Digger. Thank you very much. Now, we're looking at New Zealand weather, and it's the Met Service, brought to us by Met Service. Looking at the extremes, first of all, Whitianga, it's raining there, 7 millimetres per hour. Yes, it is. 7 millimetres per hour of rain is dropping right now. Kaikoura is the windiest place, 46 kilometres of wind. Not that windy, really. Not too bad. Tianao has the lowest temperature at the moment, 8.3 degrees, and Kaikoura has 24.9. That's pretty warm for down there, isn't it, Kaikoura? It's also pretty warm up in Whangarei at the moment, and also Auckland's warm, and Tauranga, they're all on 21 degrees. Gisborne's pretty toasty as well at 25 degrees at 5:15, not bad. 5:15 and it's 25 degrees. Even Masterton is up there in the double digit 20 degrees. Palmerston North 19, Wellington 17. Down in Blenheim 22 degrees along with Nelson. Westport on the west coast there, Franz Josef and Westport, they're all a bit cool. 13 degrees, 13 and 11. Queenstown's on 11 as well. And there you are. And Dunedin's on, 15. Stewart Island, fairly cold. But very warm at the Chathams, 21 degrees. Okay, let's look at the forecast. First of all, the short forecast for Northland, Auckland, Coromandel Peninsula, and the Bay of Plenty. Showers, some heavy with thunderstorms possible this afternoon, easing this evening, then clearing later for the Bay of Plenty tomorrow afternoon. For Gisborne and Hawke's Bay, mainly fine weather, a period of rain today and then a chance of a shower or two tomorrow. For Waikato to Kapiti, including the central high country, rain or showers with downpours and thunderstorms possible, easing this evening though. Wellington and Wairarapa, rain with downpours and thunderstorms possible, easing to isolated showers this afternoon. For Bullerbyn, well, it is this afternoon. Give us a ring, 021 732 423, and tell me what's going on with your weather. Now, Buller and Fiordland showers, some heavy with thunderstorms, clearing tomorrow. For Nelson, Marlborough and Canterbury, fine spells, isolated showers, mainly about the east coast tomorrow. Otago and Southland showers, some heavy, possibly thundery, until morning, and then easing. Severe southwesterly gales, possibly tomorrow as well. And the Chathams, rain developing tonight, possibly heavy, showers tomorrow. Extended forecast for the North Island, a few showers in the morning, and the west, otherwise mainly fine on Wednesday. You've got early showers in the south of the South Island on and then otherwise fine. That's tomorrow. Tomorrow Wednesday? No, tomorrow's Tuesday. It's Monday today, so the day after tomorrow. Thursday, looking right ahead now, in the North Island, showers developing about Tararua Ranges. Otherwise fine weather. Down in the South Island, you've got rain developing in the south and the west of the South Island, mainly fine elsewhere. Friday, a few showers in the North Island. That's in the south of the North Island. That'll be down near Levin, I suppose, somewhere down there. The hometown. Otherwise fine. In the South Island, rain in the south, clearing for a time. Early rain for and Northland, Westland clearing as well. Fine weather. Chatham Islands, your extended forecast. Wednesday rain with strong northwesterly winds, changing gale force southwesterlies early and then gradually easing. Partly cloudy with light winds on Wednesday, and then northerlies developing later. Winds turning southwest on Friday though, with a period of rain, and then it's all going to be turning to custard. No, it's not. Then it's going to be becoming fine. Fine for you chaps. There we are. We might pop over and see Philip Duncan a little bit later on. We'll be back in a minute with some news.
God told Abraham in Genesis 12, "I will bless those who bless you, and those who curse you, I will curse." This has been called the Abrahamic Covenant. It's real simple. If you bless Abraham, as in his children, if you bless the Jew...
Oh, sorry, that one actually goes on for a bit longer. I'll put that over to one side. Oh, gosh, how can I put it over to one side when it's way down there? Move the stack up. Chuck him over there. Chuck that record over there. I'll be back in a minute. We'll just have a little short one. Back in half a minute.
The teacher in Batley, who showed one of the Muhammad cartoons, as I understand it, in a discussion and a debate in his class about...
He's still in hiding.
Yeah. And that school didn't stand by him. And the police didn't stand by him. And when those bearded thugs turned up outside, They should have been arrested.
Absolutely.
They were engaged in intimidation.
Douglas Murray, 18 minutes past five with Grant Edwards on The World at Five. Now, if you're having a birthday today, the 4th of March, thank goodness you're not down in Mackenzie country in 1855 and your name's James Mackenzie. I hope you had a good day today too. Gosh, it's persisting down out there, isn't it? It is where I am anyway, so it's not much good for farming, so I thought I'd come in and do a radio program. It's all ad lib and very impromptu. Now, if you are having a birthday today, I hope you had a good one. Let's have a look and see what happened. Who was famous in New Zealand on this day? Well, the legendary sheep rustler James Mackenzie. He was caught on the 4th of March today, 1855. They've got a statue of him down there and somewhere, I forget where it is. There's a memorial to him somewhere down South Island. In March 1855, shepherds searching for 1,000 missing sheep in the upper reaches of the Waitaki Valley apprehended a suspected rustler, James Mackenzie, one of New Zealand's first and most enduring folk heroes. Caught red-handed, Mackenzie denied the theft, claiming he'd been hired to drive the sheep to Otago. After escaping from his captors, he walked 160 kilometres to Littleton, where he was recaptured on the 15th of March. The Supreme Court found Mackenzie guilty, sentencing him to 5 years hard labour. Now, he escaped from his road gang twice, remaining at large for a few days each time. In September 1855, a new magistrate reinvestigated his case and found flaws in the police inquiry and trial. Pardoned in January 1856, Mackenzie probably returned to Australia, but details of his latter life are scarce. The exploits of Mackenzie and his royal dog Friday left an indelible mark on the South Island High Country. Canny pastoralists quickly realised the significance of the pass, that's, you know, where he passed through, it hasn't got an ED either, it's just the pass, so it must be some pass, is it? It must be Mackenzie Pass, I suppose, where he was found. Just read ahead, Grant, you'll find it, with the stolen sheep and the open country beyond. This region was subsequently dubbed the Mackenzie Country, and that all happened on this day in history. Back with a bit more news, 20 past five.
The fact that he is able to brush these things off, they keep coming after him with all these different things, and none of them have really taken him out yet, and so they're just furious about it.
Excuse me. I know your question. It's up to the governors. Go ahead, please. Quiet. I told them when they put this guy here, it's nothing but trouble. He's a showboat. If you keep talking, I'll leave, and you can have it out with the rest of these people.
Yeah, oh, but man, Trump is on the go, isn't he? Let's have a look at rural news, shall we? Let's do that.
88.1 FM, the wireless rural news.
All right, well, we're over at the Farmers Weekly here, and the new news is the Cook Strait Salmon Farm has been approved. Putting fishing... Oh, that's a bit loud, Digger. Turn that down, mate. All right, now turn it down. Better. Yeah, that's better. Thank you very much. Putting fish pens out of the open ocean is not for the faint-hearted, according to the aquaculture manager. Forget what his name is now. I did have a quick read. Anyway, this story is put together by Farmers Weekly, and it's Craig Page. He's the journalist here. Looks very interesting. Is that? I don't know if it's a real photo or whether it's sort of an artist impression. It looks pretty interesting. Now, New Zealand King Salmon has at last gained approval to establish an open ocean salmon farm in the Cook Strait. The final government approval follows a 9-year resource consent and consultation process for the Blue Endeavour Open Ocean Salmon Farm. New Zealand King Salmon NZKS Chief Executive Carl Carrington, i.e. that's the chap, he said that the process has been robust. From here, he says, we will complete a 18-month program of rigorous, what they call benthic or seabed and marine mammal monitoring. And this will provide a baseline of information against which we can measure the impacts of the working salmon farm, according to him. And he said the farm, the first of its type in the... That was a journalist. He says this. What does he say? He says, the farm is the first of its type of the king salmon or Chinook fish species, which will be located 7 kilometres off Cape Lambert in the Cook Strait and comprise 20 circular pens, and will be less than 12 hectares in size and when it's fully operational, it will produce 10,000 tonnes of Chinook salmon and generate $300 million in new revenue. That's new money, folks. Oceans and Fisheries Minister Shane Jones, oh, we've got Shane on the job, he labelled the project a significant step for New Zealand's aquaculture and a win for the economy, but was critical of the time that it had taken to gain approval. Yes, well, he's blaming the Labour for that one, isn't he? What else does Jones say? Well, he says, while it's a huge step that will contribute to the government's goal to grow aquaculture to a multi-billion dollar industry, it's taken far too long. Yeah, well, you said that. Anyway, so Carrington, he's all excited. Anyway, regional economies will benefit from the growth in supporting infrastructure and services required, such as boat servicing, skilled jobs, farming, engineering, processing, all that sort of thing. So it's going to be great, isn't it? So who else have we got there that says something interesting about it? We will be trialling technologies and investing in mooring grid infrastructure to ensure that we're able to adapt to the Cook Strait conditions. It's going to be rough and wild, I'd say. Gosh, they have 10-metre waves out there. Make no mistake about that. It's not going to be easy for them. Now, we've got something also very interesting here in rural. South Otago's Stirling Cheese Factory has become Fonterra's first plant to run solely on renewable energy. Bunch of idiots. Get the petrol going. Get the diesel engine in there and get some coal-fired stuff there, and then you'll make some real money. Watch them go tits up. Work on the $33 million replacement of the coal-fired boiler dubbed Trees to Cheese. It began in 2019, but was delayed by COVID, the pandemic. And it was commissioned last April, but formally opened today. That was yesterday. Chris Kane, Fonterra's Director of Technical Excellence, said that the four South Island plants, that's Dartfield, Studholme, Glendale, and there's another one there, but I can't remember what it was. I don't know. Anyway, there it is. They're still on coal. But they will be replaced over time in accordance with the best options available. It says there that work will start soon on installing the electro boiler at Edendale, which will cut emissions by 20%. More sort of globalist nonsense, really, isn't it? Just, you know, clicking the ticket. They'll be being paid some big handout, probably by some world government organisation or some globalist nutters, to put this thing in so that other people follow suit and they all go down the toilet together. So that's what they're doing. This is brought to you by Farmers Weekly and interpreted by Grant Edwards from the Liberty NZ podcast and the Wireless. Now, there is also a quest to find the Golden Fleece at the Wanaka A&P show. Now, that started just a couple of days ago. I think it's all over now, but let's have a quick look at it. It was very interesting because they've got those wonderful sheep called the Merino. The wool judging team at the Wanaka A&P show is sorting its way through a record number of fine wool entries as growers behind some of New Zealand's most iconic Merino brands vie for the coveted industry award at the show. A record 236 fleece entries have been received from the prestigious New Zealand Fine Wool Supreme Fleece Competition, with judges blown away by the quality of the fleeces and the interest from major wool growers across the South Island ahead of this year's event. The competition amalgamates the best fine wool supreme fleeces from around the South Island, including not much in the North Island going on with the old Merino, from properties with working contracts to internationally recognised brands such as Devold, Icebreaker and Mons Royale, also Smart Wool and First Light, and don't forget Global Merino. And according to Craig Smith, he said, Craig Smith, I used to work with Craig Smith, he was a real estate agent. Anyway, Craig Smith, not the same one, I'm sure it's not. It's New Zealand's gold medal of New Zealand Fine Wool Fleeces. New Zealand Fine Wool Supreme Fleece Judge, Craig Smith said. And it's an opportunity to show the rest of the world just how good we are. We're blimmin' amazing down here. We're just the bestest little country in the whole wide world. It just got our head in the sand when it comes to the pandemic and other silly things as well. We just can't stand on our own 2 feet. You know, when are the farmers going to wake up? When are you silly idiots going to wake up and start squirting some effluent around Parliament, you know, to let them know that you're not, you better hurry up and change that fresh water thing because it's going to send us all bust, you idiots. Anyway, this year's, I'll get back to this. Get back here. All right. This year's fleece from more than 53 South Island properties will be judged over the coming days, and the winning fleece will be on public display at the Wanaka Showgrounds on March the 8th and 9th. So that's next week. So that's great, just a few days away. Fleece entries are judged on the basis of strict trade requirements and verified by the New Zealand Wool Testing Authority. That's a long one, NZWTA. And it's in an initial judging process that started on February 22nd. The second stage of the judging happens during week, to show week, with meticulous visual checks by wool experts and show judges, according to Smith, and also Peter McCuster. He says that as well. There we are. That looks like we've just about done that one over. England-based Sarah Smith, she was there as well. She's a prominent international show judge for more than 40 years, so she's no spring chicken. She'll be judging the equestrian categories. Equestrian? Oh, they've got horses. What are we doing that for? I thought we were talking about sheep. We're moved on to horses now. We're delighted to be hosting the high-caliber judges. All are experts in their categories, and I'm sure they will provide some valuable feedback for this year's entrants. Livestock manager. This is Fee Howie. That's an interesting name. Fee. Hello, Fee. Fee Howie. Interesting name. Now, just a few more little quick stories here. I'll try not to shag around with them too much. And a quest to find the... Oh, no, we did that. You're not on the ball today. Now, what else have we got? Oh, we need more effluent dumps. Apparently, we've got shit all over the road. It's been from the cattle trucks. I love the smell of it, actually. Diesel and sheep shit. Wonderful. Farmers and livestock trucks operators are keeping their fingers crossed that the plan for more stock effluent dumps isn't sidelined by competing road funding priorities. Yes, well, they're funneling that money off that should go towards roading into black ops for the world government. It's going to finance the world government. That's what that's all about. You know, mark my words, I'm right on this. You know, you'll come back and say, Grant, you were right. 29 minutes past five there with Grant Edwards on The World at Five. Now, Manawatu Rangitiki Farm Federated Farmers President Ian Strahan, he says that it's time when, at this time, and farmers are under the microscope for the impact of their livestock on the environment. He said it's puzzling to him that why that they're just allowed, you know, the trucks to just spill their effluent all over the flipping road. Truck drivers have told me in confidence that the dumping of effluent on side roads is a widespread occurrence, especially when rain is adding to the effluent load. Of course it would. Yeah. The Saddle Hill is one of the most places that's prone for it. Of course, from Saddle Hill, I didn't remember looking at this before. Don Wilson, chair of the National Livestock Transport and Safety Group, he's also, which is Federated Farmers, he's one of the members there. He says that the industry is very aware of the issue and a business case has been developed to put the NZTA or Waka Kakataka Tere on, they want 19 more SEDFs. That must be sediment, something to do with dumping the poos somewhere. Anyway, they don't come cheap though. The estimated cost of 19 facilities, including land purchase, was $38.3 million. Well, I don't know. Why do you need to purchase the land? Why don't you just lease a bit and just chuck a dump in there and just pay the local farmer a bit of money for the effluent dump? And they just put it in a tank, stick it underground, and then someone comes along and sucks it out and pushes it out into the Waitemata Harbour. It's what they normally do, isn't it? It's what they used to do. They used to just pour the shit out through the Waitemata Harbour. They did. Oh, it was terrible. Yeah, that before Kelly Tarleton's. Anyway, other news, other rural news. Otago Feds urge council to pause draft plan. Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's no doubt about that. Federated Farmers New Zealand, leading independent rural advocacy organisation, is that right? Yeah, I think you're in cahoots with the government, has established a new insight partnership. Oh, no, hang on. No, we're not just reading that. That's just a propaganda piece for the Federated Farmers. I thought there was a proper story here. Let me see. I'll click on it again and see if it comes out with anything. Oh, here we go. Yeah, that's, but I don't know. Well, I must have gone on something else. Now, we've got a nice young chap there. Looks slightly tubby, but he's a farm. Federated Farmers urging Otago Regional Council to hit the pause button on land and water plans. Oh, absolutely. It'll destroy farming. Otago Regional Council needs to read the room and hit pause on its poorly drafted plan for managing land and water resources, according to Federated Farmers. Not sure who it is there, but we'll probably find out. Organisation's Otago president, here we are, Luke Kane, says councillors need to do the right thing by ratepayers when they vote in March, and they're going to be voting on whether to implement the land and water regional plan in June. Now, central government have made it very clear that they're going to be significant changes to the timeline and direction. Otago Regional Council, or ORC, should be taking note of that and delaying their plans, according to Kane. He says it would be completely irresponsible of them to keep pushing ahead with their plan in its current form. It will just lead to needless costs and confusion for farmers, farmers' families and rural communities. He also went on to say it is currently written that the plan would severely limit our ability to continue farming in the Otago region. Otago Regional Council has been working on its controversial land and water plan for 5 years and was due to notify it when many parts would take effect. At the end of June. Right. The plan is designed to meet the previous government's national policy statement on freshwater 2020, but Kane says the plan does not goes much further than is required. The new government is also moving quickly, far too quickly, rather. He says the new government is also moving quickly to replace the NPS, that's the, you know, the water thingy, that will be pragmatic and sensible freshwater rules, that's what they want, due to be completed on in 18 to 24 months' time. And this will involve rebalancing the mana of the water, that's what the Maoris call it, mana of the water. What a load of bullshit. This is a concept that is central to the this freshwater plan. Kane says, although Cabinet has extended the deadline for councils to implement freshwater plans from the end of 2024 to the end of 2027, that's only useful if OCR, that's the Otago Regional Council, rather, not OCR, ORC, accept it. Now, he said, it's obvious to ratepayers that nothing more should happen with this draft plan until they have a clear direction on fresh water from the new government. Why would Otago Regional Council bring a new plan into place that'll need to be overhauled in a couple of years, costing ratepayers even more money? That's a good question, actually, Kane. Is that your name? Kane. Anyway, this is his last name. Sorry. Oh, it is Kane. Kane says, contrary to what environmental groups are saying, farmers aren't opposing the plan because they don't care about the quality. The water quality, that's absolutely right. He says farmers aren't wanting to destroy the environment. We just want a practical, science-based approach that will work. Very good. We're not disputing the need for environmental outcomes. And farmers are sort of leading the charge on cleaning up the area anyway. I think that the big problems are the councils themselves with some of their operations that are polluting. And we know that's happened if you've been reading the newspaper over the last 30 years. And also big business in the cities. They're the ones that do all the polluting. Now, he says that the problem with the Te Mana o Te Wai, which is the Maori mana of the water thing, the government, the rest of it will fall into place. What is it? He says once the problem, once it's sorted, the Otago Regional Council interpretation of this funny Maori thing is heavily one-sided towards looking after the health and well-being of the water. Don't worry about the health and well-being of the people, though. Another farmer disappointed that councillors haven't already put the draft plan on ice is Simon Davies. He's a sheep and beef farmer at Toko Mouth near Milton. That's a nice place. He's also holding on to hope that the March vote will end in the right result. It's very important, this. This is going to affect everybody, because if you don't have farming, you're not going to have food coming over the table. Davies is a former Federated Farmers Otago president. He says the draft plan as it stands is entirely unachievable. He said it's probably not going to take a lot of, or make a lot of difference to the water quality, but will pay a huge price in an economic way. Like Kane, he's deeply concerned that the Otago Regional Council has gone much further than is required to by the government. That's because they're a law unto themselves. They're actually getting orders from the United Nations, from the WIF, those sorts of people that are trying to put in this 2030 agenda. That's what they're doing. They're going directly to the councils. Every council in the country signed up for the smart cities as well. And so they're basically law unto themselves, because they realize that's what they can do. This is what the globalists are doing. They're going in through the councils and they're making these changes right under your nose. And there's nothing you can do about it. Well, you can actually. You can do what the farmers are doing over in Europe. You can go and spread some effluent around. Now, the Otago region generally has good water. I acknowledge there are some specific areas that have a few issues to address, but demanding an entire regional meet, or rather an entire, have some meat, an entire region meet a standard that goes well beyond the national requirements is completely unreasonable and unnecessary for most farmers in Otago. Davey says potential applications for stock water limitations are also worrying him. It's a real concern, because if we lose our water, we won't be able to farm here. Otago Regional Council appears to be trying to control activity rather than outcome. That's what he says. So that's a very good little story there, and you can find that over at the Farmers Weekly there, and you can just check to make sure that I've said it to you properly. And so that's about it. Other just sort of headlines to do with rural news. Central Field Days hits stride again. They had a bit of a downtime, didn't they? It's its 31st year, though, at the moment, that one there, the Central Field Days. And you've got sheep flock to Masterton for the Golden Shears. Oh, yes, logistics. The first hurdle to clear before the championship gets underway. I'm not sure when that gets underway. I thought it'd be underway by now. Let's have a quick look. Thousands of sheep from as far as Central Otago. It's probably already gone, done and dusted. Oh, yes, it did. Started a few days. So it's over. Sorry, I've gone too far down the page. All right, I'll be back in a minute. I'll just go and put some coffee on, and I'll be back shortly. Hey, that Fanny Willis, was it Farnie? It's only got one N in it. Farnie or Fanny Willis, she wants to lock Trump up, doesn't she? She's a nut bar.
Your office objected to us getting Delta records for flights that you may have taken with Mr. Wade.
I object to you getting records. You've been intrusive into people's personal lives. You're confused. You think I'm on trial. These people are on trial for trying to steal an election in 2020. I'm not on trial, no matter how hard you try to put me on trial.
So my question was, do you have any problem?
I object to getting any personal records of mine.
We're not dealing with privilege through a witness.
And I'm not, I'm not dealing with privilege. What we had offered to put them in camera for the court to review, and I just want to know if she has any
problem. That's not something you deal with a witness.
Quick 60 seconds on Piers Morgan and two things that are getting confused. Opinions versus freedom of speech. Does Piers Morgan have the right to have an opinion? Yes. Should he be able to say it anywhere he likes? Absolutely. He can stir up anything he wants to. He should be able to shout it from the rooftops, say it on national TV, write it in his newspaper column, do what the bloody hell he likes. Now, can he elevate himself to ambassador for free speech, defender of free speech? A guy who called for COVID realists to be banned from the public square. A guy who actively campaigned to have other people fired for their opinions. A guy who blocks anyone he disagrees with. No. Does he have the right to an opinion? Absolutely. Is he some sort of ambassador for free speech? No, he's about as much of an ambassador as Kim Jong-un, and about as fast.
I just want to make this one point, if I may, which is that Tommy Robinson, you may not like him, you may not care about him, you may think he's an asshole, you may love him. It doesn't matter to me what you think in that regard. You can think all those things. His court cases is about a Section 35, which is another kind of dispersal order. Because he went to the protest against anti-Semitism, he was having his breakfast, he was arrested, he was given a Section 35, or he was called on his Section 35, which said he couldn't be there. He could very well end up in prison. And all I want to say briefly, I know we're running out of time, is do you see how the law is not the law? How if you're Greta Thunberg and you're being paid to push net zero, you are let off because the courts will say, oh, well, it wasn't Greta's fault. It wasn't explained clearly. Poor Greta. And the net zero mafia get another opportunity to have the headlines say, we've got to save the planet. Polar bears, penguins. But if you're Tommy Robinson and you're given a Section 35, which is similar to a Section 14, and you're having breakfast quietly and you're arrested, you're going to end up in prison.
19-6, that's Katie Hopkins. You'll catch her at Greenwich Meantime, 9 p.m. on TNT Radio Live. Let's check out The Centrist. That's a New Zealand publication, thecentrist.co.nz, or you can find them at centrist.co.nz without the definite article. Now, we're looking at this interesting feature here by Richard Preble, who's probably should be locked up in jail for selling off the crown jewels of New Zealand anyway. But anyway, he's out now and he's saying all the right things. Two alarming statistics which highlight Labour's year of failure. Facts. These are the facts according to thecentrist.co.nz. The number of people on JobSeeker has risen to $189,000, an increase of approximately 70,000 since 2017. Now, Preble criticises Labour's reliance on wealth redistribution over practical solutions. That's what he says. Other top stories, EU's agricultural protests. Oh, yes. Oh, boy. Now, if you go over to the Facebook page at Liberty NZ, you'll see Liberty NZ Facebook page. We've got some tankers there, farmers, and they're out with the police. They're squirting their what it looks like effluent, but I'm not sure what it is, but they're squirting it all over the road. Man alive, they are playing for keeps. When is Groundswell going to wake up and realise this is a serious war we're in? turn. They're trying to kill off farming. I think they're trying to kill all of us. They hate our guts. We're being exterminated, according to Vinnie Eastwood. He says, but we should have fun while they exterminate us. Now, this is the EU's agricultural protest. A sound environmental policy would favour local over national and international and allow for human prosperity. I don't know. Did you understand that?
No, I didn't understand it, Grant.
I didn't understand it either. So don't worry about it. We might come back to it. Then I'll have a look at it while you're driving. Now, a study, low suicide rates among gender dysphoric youth in Finland. Now, this research has been going on over there indicating that it's far more critical to treat the underlying mental illness. We'll look at that one in a moment too, because it certainly is. It's the gender dysphoria that's causing the problem, the suicide. Once kids realise, the boys realise they're boys and the girls are girls, think they'll be a lot happier. Peter Williams, he chimes in too on the end of News Hub. He said they didn't offer any alternative views. No, that's right. They just parroted what the government said. And now the government, they're going to the government with cap in hand. They're back in November, they went there and they wanted some money to try and bail them out because they knew they were going to fail. But the government said no so far. Anyway, according to that, Melissa Lee, broadcasting minister, I think she is, urgent call. New Zealand doctors speaking out with science, that's the real ones, not those fake ones that set up a website called nzdsos.co.nz. No, you go to nzdsos.com, that's the real guys with the real doctors that really know about health and care about people, not money. They're not drug pushers for the government, for the pharmaceutical industry, I should say. Now, anyway, urgent call. New Zealand doctors speaking out with science. They demand a halt to COVID vaccinations over the cardiovascular concerns. This is only the tip of the vaccine injury iceberg. We'll look at that one in a moment as well, because that's too good to let go. Australian Supreme Court declares COVID vaccine mandates unlawful under the Human Rights Act, yet the court found that under certain circumstances, mandatory vaccinations could be deemed reasonable. It's absolutely disgraceful. Now, Google versus Microsoft AI. One is racist and the other is suggesting some users may be better off dead. Maybe you're not a valuable or worthy person. This is what they're saying there. I don't know. We'll have a look at it. NZ News Essentials is part of. They're tied up with it. I think they're all, you know, the same millionaires are financing this website. What do they say? They say that the heads I win, tails you lose, rigged narratives regarding race in New Zealand media, part two. Oh, yeah, they've got a story there. You want to whip over there and have a look at that one at nznewsessentials.com. You'll find them. Do media narratives which promote the notion of systematic racism and victimhood mentality positively serve Maori interests? No, they don't. They destroy Maori. Actually, maybe certain tribal interests they might, but they certainly aren't a help to New Zealand Māori youth at all. Now, what the left doesn't acknowledge about the rise of the right is ascending in both politics and the media, but the left seems to misunderstand the reason why. And also, Ifesco Collins' his sudden death sparked speculation about the cause. Rumours abound Collins' tragic passing is linked to the COVID vaccines. This may or may not be true, but can the attention given to his death at least result in something positive? Yes, a full inquiry. A proper inquiry, not like the fake one that Winston Peters is saying he's going to do. You know you're soaking in it. How a patina of science sells you an ideology. A lot of government-funded studies. More like sales jobs. That's so true. That's absolutely so true. These government-funded studies, they're just zero. A New Zealand Court of Appeal ruling challenges the COVID vaccine mandates for the public servants. Now, the New Zealand Defence Force vaccine mandate ruled unlawful. Thank goodness for that. And one other reason Māori signed the treaty, fear of the French. The bloody French. No treaty might have meant that the tribe of Marion, yeah, oh boy, they play for kicks, those Frenchies, the frogs, they would have exacted Utu on the revenge and colonised New Zealand, and there wouldn't be any Maoris left, although some say there's no Maoris left now anyway. Give all bread with us. The COVID crisis, a test of freedom and government overreach. You just have to recognise the truth is the warning. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Oh, so cryptic. Why don't you write a proper paragraph so people like me can read it and share it with people. All right. Now, Otago Daily Times, we'll have a look at them in just a moment. We'll be back in a minute.
Katie Hopkins just exposed this climate activist's hypocrisy.
An ambulance couldn't get through because your protesters, Just Stop Oil, were blocking the road and the ambulance couldn't get through in time. She couldn't get the help she needed and she died. You said that you are a peaceful protester. My friend is dead. How do you answer that?
We have a blue light policy, which means whenever we have roadblocks, as soon as we hear sirens, we see the blue lights, people move out of the way. And we have never had any complaints from either ambulances, fire brigade or any other emergency services.
The video footage exists and the lady can't complain now because she's dead. Let me ask you another question. What bills do you currently pay? Who pays for your accommodation at university?
My student loan.
Have you ever paid any bills in your lifetime?
No.
So you don't know what it's like to be a homeowner and not to be able to afford your energy bills. You don't know what it's like to pay a bill, Phoebe, do you?
No. Absolutely hopeless. Good on you, Katie. Yeah, you show them that they're a bunch of flippin' idiots. All right. Now, Posey Parker protest. Remember that? Discharged without conviction for punching the 71-year-old woman. Can you believe that? A young man, young flippin' pervert, a young man who was filmed punching a 71-year-old, we've all seen it, 71-year-old woman during the heated, it wasn't heated, it was heat, only the only people that were making heat were the flippin' people that were protesting, wouldn't allow Posey Parker to speak to a woman's group at Albert Park. It was terrible, and the police were stood down. They did it on purpose. They did it on purpose, those bunch of flippin' woke nutcases. Anyway, this young woman has been, and the judge, for him to be let off with no conviction, which is what's happened here, has been granted a discharge without conviction and permanent name suppression. Well, we know who the halfwit is, but he should not be let off. That shows you that we've got a corrupt judicial system. We've got corrupt judges. And there it is there, the latest story that's just come out through the Otago Daily Times. Oh, makes your blood boil, doesn't it? National plans to hike fuel tax, rego costs. National is proposing a fuel tax hike of 12 cents in 2027. Oh, I see. That's per kilometre. An increase of vehicle registration fees of $50. Oh, I see. 12 cents on the, what is that, fuel tax? Would that be on? Oh, no, that's terrible. That's per litre. Oh, gosh, Grant, wake up. Now, wait for vandalised Cook statue to return to former glory. A statue of Captain Cook in Christchurch will bear the marks of a costly Valentine's Day vandalism attack for at least another 3 months. Then they're going to fix it all up. Principal is dismayed over the changes to school design. A college principal says that she is horrified at what has happened to her school's building project, even though it is supposedly a top priority. Oh, well, I'm going to have to click on it, aren't I? Because I haven't got a clue what you're talking about. It looks all right. It's just like one of those modern buildings. College principal Rolleston College agreed in December to a new classroom, a tech block and a gym at its senior campus West Christchurch, but the Tumuaki Rachel Skelton said it was now being cut back, even though officials told her that the school was the number one priority. Oh, well, there you go, these things happen. That's okay. Major roadworks for some South Island highways. A suite of roadworks will be disrupting travel on some South Island highways, prompting warnings for motorists to plan ahead. And a Christchurch gig's been cancelled. Blink, and they're gone. Blink to 182. The bassist and vocalist Mark Hoppus has fronted up about their cancellation, if you could be interested in that. Now, the bailout warning went to the minister. That's, what's her name? Melissa Lee. Back in November about, this is the bailout of News Hub, officials warned the government that it may face requests to bail out media companies if it failed to progress a law forcing digital platforms to pay local media for using their content. Absolute bullshit. It's got nothing to do with it. It's got nothing to do with it at all. Here's why they went broke. Because we don't watch you anymore. We don't listen to you anymore because we don't trust you because we're biased. We know that you're just a paid and bought for media by the last government. Well, that's, you were, absolutely. And that's why we don't listen to you. We don't watch you because we don't trust you. Car dealers, actually, we trust them more. A car dealer, secondhand car dealer along New North Road has got more credibility than the media organisations at the moment. That's why you've been overtaken. And that's why you've got people, young people don't go and look at the news or the television anymore. They've got their Android in front of them. They go where they want. They go to Rumble somewhere if they want to get the truth. They know that YouTube's only good for learning how to, you know, change the tire on your bike. If you want the truth about what's really going on, you're not going to get it on YouTube. You've got to go to somewhere like Rumble or Odyssey and some of those other ones. And that's why they want to stop it. And, you know, that's just a load of rubbish that the reason for the demise of first of all, News Hub, and I would say that Stuff, you'll be next, and all the others as well, just shut the whole lot down. Because it's rubbish. It's they're basically just, they've become public relations companies. That's what they are. Public relations media PR companies for the government of the day. Although they don't like this latest one at the moment. but that'll be interesting. They'll be right. They're just sort of pretending that they're, you know, they're against them. But the media, well, they got paid out so much by Labor, didn't they? They got all those millions of dollars, but $55 million to start with, and it was just kept pouring in. I think they're still giving them money because they can't turn it around, because the real people that run New Zealand aren't the politicians. Oh, no, it's the bureaucrats. And the bureaucrats, they've got a job for life. Gosh, it's absolutely pouring down here. It's wonderful, just fabulous. Can't do any farming, but, boy, the rain is doing a wonderful job of moisturising the topsoil, and we're going to get some great growth, I would say, if that sun comes out in the next few days. I'd say it'll be good by tomorrow, and then we're going to have some growth. And boy, you watch that grass grow. Boy, should we grow some grass here. We've got some rye grass, and we've got some lovely clover as well, and you've got beautiful honey from our clover bees. Oh, yeah, they love the clover. And what else do they quite like? There's something else. There's another flower there. Yeah, I see these bees on the ragwort too. I don't like that. Don't know if that would taste very nice. Might be poisonous. Who knows? Now, school lunches. Seymour's appointing his appointment is extremely concerning. Seymour's appointment. Look, there's no such thing as a free lunch. You should know that. Why don't you, some of you people, stop buying cigarettes and alcohol and start feeding your kids? And why don't you stop wasting it on the pokies and start making school lunches? I used to love getting up in the morning early and making my children's school lunch before they went off. I used to love it. I just love doing that for my children. Why don't your parents start being proper parents? You don't need us to be paying for your kids' lunch, because it's not the government that pays, it's we. I'm not paying for your kids' school lunch. You go and get off your ass and do some proper work, and you can pay for your own and stop wasting it. If you want to smoke cigarettes, we just work harder. If you want to drink booze, work harder. Work harder, work longer hours, and then you can afford to do so, but you won't, you'll be a bit groggy at work. Anyway, so they're not very happy about it. The health campaigners are alarmed that David Seymour has been given responsibility for the free school lunches initiative and have asked for an urgent meeting. Well, they're not going to get it. He's going to can it, and so he should. Now, how a killer's text to a journalist ended up at trial? On Tuesday, David Charles Benbow, remember him? He will be sentenced for murdering his childhood friend, Michael McGrath, nearly 7 years ago after he disappeared. Now, that is an interesting story. I haven't got time to read it to you there. Oh, Benbow looks... They both look like nice chaps. It's unbelievable, really, isn't it? They did this to each other. If it's true, it's hard to know, though, isn't it? Sometimes so many people... I mean, fancy letting off that person that punched that 71-year-old, which we all saw, punched her and just about broke her eye... I think it did break her eye socket. They let that pervert bastard off. That judge did. That judge ought to go to jail for that. That is just disgraceful that they let him off at the Posey Parker event back in, what was that, March last year? I think it was. It's not safe for people, women's campaigners to come to this country. Government pushes to improve the rehab access for remand prisoners. A coalition government has pushed ahead with its pledge to improve access to rehab for prisoners who are awaiting trial or sentencing. And a Christchurch pornographer, did you know there's such a thing? Christchurch pornographer, he's shamed by victims in US court. Wow, from Christchurch. Warning, distressing content. A Christchurch man is facing life in a US prison after he helped his childhood friend trick scores of women into becoming porn stars. Just awful, isn't it? And Zany Zeus, the halloumi cheese, it's been recalled. New Zealand's Food Safety is recalling Zany Zeus brand halloumi cheese. I love halloumi. I love to fry it up, chuck it on the bit of, what do you put on there? I don't normally use oil these days. I wonder what you do. A bit of olive oil, I suppose. Put a bit of olive oil on it and then give it a cook up. Oh, gosh, I can't wait to start making some cheese. I've got some raw cow's milk coming, 5 litres at a time. $10, fresh, straight out of the vat. Just go down there and help myself, you know, put the money in the honesty box, and away we go. Then I'll be able to make some cheese again. Oh, boy, I love my cheese. Oh, Lord, I love it. It's just I'm not paying $30 a week for cheese, which is what I'm doing at the moment. It's just terrible. And you can make your own butter, too, with the cow's milk. Very hard to make butter with the sheep's milk, though, the old ewe's milk. It's because it's naturally homogenised and you can't churn it. You can, but you'd need to be have a real commercial outfit, apparently. But you can't do it yourself. It's you can just do it with an egg beater. with the cow's milk, but not the sheep milk. I hope I said that around the right way. Sometimes I get confused. Now, obituary. Oh, okay. So that's it. That is the Otago Daily Times. I'll be back in a moment with some of the other fake stream media.
Yesterday I saw a man wearing fishnet stockings with a Palestinian flag. If he was in the Gaza Strip, in your opinion, how many metres would he make before he was prevented from celebrating his own identity?
Well, they would take him, tie his hands behind his arms, and then throw stones at him until he dies. Anyone who thinks that they're somehow woke or cool for supporting Hamas is supporting beheading babies.
Yep. Gosh, it's terrible, isn't it? Hey, some stupid people here that they think they're pro Hamas and they're like they're, what is it now? You know, gays for you know, Palestine and all this nonsense. They last 5 minutes. There wouldn't be enough buildings in the Middle East to chuck them off if they all went over there. You'd be crazy to. Hey, News Hub is still putting out stories, though. I'll just do a refresh on that page, see if they've got anything then. If they might get their act together. Let's have a look. Transport. Government plans $50 rego hike. Oh, we've already read that. 22 cents. Oh, they say 22 cents on the fuel. An increase to pay a $20 billion transport plan. Okay, so they're just going to make us pay. We have to pay for it. The last government wasted our money. Now this government's going to use our money to repay the debt. And the only people that get rich are the people that loan the money. And a 90-year-old woman is shaken after a strong winds near Greymouth ripped the roof off her house and did that. What? All you can see is the rafters or the trusses on this lady's house. They've done a very good job of the brick and tile. No, not the tile. They've done a very good job of the brick, but the tile doesn't look so good. Poor woman. And it should be gone. Free school lunches scheme fate to be considered by a coalition government. Seymour, he slams it as wasteful. So he's going to get rid of it. And Auckland, very busy. A wide-scale disruption on the way for Auckland Rail. This has just come out a minute ago, so we'll whip into that story and have a look at it. Yes, big disruption there. Looks they're pretty new trains look quite pretty, don't they? Kiwi Rail teams will return to work on Auckland's Western Line in March as they seek to complete rebuilding a series of tracks on the rail network. Sites between Market and New Lynn, that's Newmarket and New Lynn, will be worked on from March the 10th right through to early May. Between the 11th of March and 24th of April, trains will only be able to run on one of the two tracks while others are being worked on, according to Kiwi Rail. There we are. That's the story there for the Aucklanders who like to go to work on the train. And Malaysia confirms bombshell MH37 move. Now that's Malaysia flight MH37 search. Must go on a decade after the plane vanished. It's been 10 years. Unbelievable. They're pushing for a renewed search for the Malaysia Airlines flight MH370. The transport minister said on Sunday, as the 10th anniversary of its disappearance and one of the world's greatest aviation mysteries approaches. Flight MH370, a Boeing 777 carrying 227 passengers and 12 crew, vanished en route from Kuala Lumpur to Beijing on March the 8th, 2014. It just seems like the other day. Malaysian investigators initially did not rule out the possibility that the aircraft had been deliberately taken off course and debris, some confirmed and some believed to be from the aircraft, was washed up along the coast of Africa and on islands in the Indian Ocean. Malaysian Transport Minister Anthony Loki, he said that the US seabed exploration firm Ocean Infinity has been invited to discuss its latest search proposal after two previous failed attempts. The Malaysian government is committed to the search for MH370 and the search must go on. That's what he said in a statement at a remembrance event on Sunday. Malaysia engaged Ocean Infinity in 2018 to search the southern Indian Ocean, offering to pay $70 million if it found the plane. Malaysia, China and Australia earlier had ended a fruitless two-year $200 million Australian, $130.46 million US underwater hunt in January 2017. Loke said Malaysia would talk to Australia about cooperating in resuming the search once Ocean Infinity's proposal is approved by the Malaysian cabinet. There we are. So I hope they find that for the... It'd be nice to just know what really went on there, wouldn't it? Now, what else have we got? Kourtney Kardashian, distress. No. She disses. She disses Auckland while cities with the Blink, while in the city. Oh, she was here. She was here with Blink 182. Who are they? Blink. Are they good? Should we play a song from Blink? Blink 182. I'll look one up. I'll see if I can find one for you. I've got YouTube, I suppose. Blink 182. Blink. Blink. I guess 182. So. Let's play one now. Just we'll play a little bit and just see what it's like. See if it's any good. They've done it. Should we do a live performance or should, no? We'll just do one. The official video. Here we are. This is the Blink. This is called One More. We'll have a listen to that. Oh, I've got an ad. Oh, got to wait. Wait 15 seconds. Oh, sod you. I'll mute it for 15 seconds. We've got 5 seconds to go and then we can hear it. We're not going to give McDonald's an ad. Gosh, that's just poison. Here we go. Here's Blink.
Strangers, from strangers into brothers, from brothers into strangers once again. We saw the whole world, but I couldn't see the meaning. I couldn't even recognize my friends. Nothing's any different. Right now feels the same. I wonder why. I wish they told us it shouldn't take a sickness or airplanes falling out the sky. Do I have to die to hear you miss me? Do I have to die to hear you say goodbye? I don't wanna act like there's tomorrow. I don't wanna wait to do this one more time.
One more time.
One more.
One more time.
One more time.
I miss you. Took time, but I admit it. It still hurts even after all these years. And I know that next time ain't always gonna happen. I gotta say I love you while we're here.
Do I have to die to hear you miss me? Do I have to die to hear you say goodbye? I don't wanna.
One more time.
One more time.
One more time.
One more.
One more time.
One more time.
One more time.
I miss you.
Thank you.
Oh, shoot, I thought I had time. I've got time. I'll just go out and see a man about a racehorse. But I obviously didn't have time. Never mind. I thought, but I read that all wrong. Oh, yeah, 3:27. It must have been like 3:40 or something like that. And I thought, no, I didn't even have enough time to get out the door and back. Never mind, we're here now. We're back, ready to go. Why don't we go over to Radio New Zealand and see if they've got any propaganda? I'm pretty sure they have. Let me see if I can find them. I had them all lined up there. No, we're not going there. Here we go. I'll just tell you what the latest is, and then I'd better go, I suppose. It's 6:07, and let's see. It's late, isn't it? It's late. Let's see. The latest one from RNZ will be down the bottom, I suppose. Am I on the right page? Let's go down the bottom and make sure I'm on page one. Page one. There we are. Should have the latest news. Government announces hike on annual license fees. Yep, motorists should brace themselves for higher costs to fund the roads and public transport. Why should we? After the last government, as I said, the last government wasted it. We have to pay all that rubbish back. $20 billion thereafter, they're going to get it from us. It's always us. We're always the ones that have to pay, don't we? Pay through the nose, pay through the tax this, tax that. We're the most taxed country in the world, I reckon. We'd have to be, wouldn't we? Now, let's look at the latest. Seth, there's a 6:00 bulletin here. We've got a 5:00 one. It's a bit long, though. It goes on for a bit. There's no newer one, I don't think. They're probably still doing it. let's have a listen to the 5:00, see what they say. Here we go.
RNZ News at 5:00, Manga Pitupitu Kōrero, ko Anna Thomas Tēnei. The Associate Education Minister is looking to cut funding for the school lunch program by up to half. David Seymour has confirmed the government-funded lunch program, Ka Ora Ka Ako, is under review ahead of the budget. The program provides about 220,000 lunches to 995 schools nationwide, with $323 million allocated until the end of the year. Mr. Seymour has told Checkpoint budget reductions could range from 30 to 50%.
There's a couple of things you can change. Number of schools, there's the number of kids within a school, and then there is the kind of delivery that you have. All of those are in open discussion at the moment because we know that we need to do a lot more with less.
David Seymour says the program needs to deliver more efficiently with a focus on educational goals. The government is proposing increasing petrol excise tax by 12 cents a litre in 2027 to help pay for new roads. The previous Labour government proposed the same hike coming into force 6 months earlier. National, in response, ruled out any increases to the tax during its first term in government. Prime Minister Christopher Luxon denies the higher tax will make the cost of living worse.
We're doing a whole bunch of things to try and get the cost of living down for people. But the reality is, as we look at the choices and the trade-offs we have to make for a very foundational piece of work around our transport strategy so that we can have modern, reliable infrastructure in this country, this is the choice and the trade-off that we've made.
The proposed changes also include increasing the cost of car registrations and will go out for consultation over the next month. Former Prime Minister Helen Clark says Auckland Airport's processes are not good enough in damaging the country's reputation. Passengers departing and arriving in Auckland say they've been snaking slowly through customs and security with little to no explanation for the delays. Helen Clark was at Auckland Airport last weekend and says the departure queues were shocking.
My heart sank because I was able, you know, with a business class ticket to get in an express lane. But there was this queue that just snaked all over, you know, around by the shops and so on, and just barely shuffling, and I thought it would be extremely distressing.
Helen Clark says systemic issues need to be addressed to ensure New Zealand is an attractive place to land, and you can hear more on this story shortly on Checkpoint. An Auckland petrol station owner says he's seeing a worrying trend in robberies. The Caltex in Western Springs was robbed at the weekend with an employee threatened with a hammer. In CCTV footage provided to RNZ, a group can be seen pulling up in front of the petrol station before rushing the store and climbing over the counter. Fog cannons are used and the group flees as the room fills with smoke. Owner Sanjay Bagia says it's become a pattern.
It's a trend that we have not seen it before. Since January of my 11 sites, We had had 8 incidences, all armed holdups. And this one was the first one was done in broad daylight. So it's a trend that is worrying.
Police say an investigation is ongoing. After a day of heavy rain battering the country, Met Service says the weather is expected to ease tonight, but is warning of colder weather tomorrow. Flights have been cancelled in Wellington and a roof ripped off on the west coast when gusts reached 140 kilometres per hour at Mount Cook Airport, while Wellington's Mount Coco recorded 130 kilometres per hour. Meanwhile, Nelson saw 80 millimetres of rain fall in the space of 2 hours this morning. Meteorologist Claire O'Connor says the top of the North Island is currently experiencing the worst of the rain. She says anyone camping or going through the Crown Range roads in the South Island can expect snow down to 800 metres tomorrow. The company that allowed tour operators onto Whakaari White Island says it does not have enough money to fund the court-ordered multi-million dollar reparations to victims of the deadly 2019 eruption. Andrew, James and Peter Buttle own Whakaari Management, which granted access to the island for a fee. The company is among the parties sentenced last week for safety failings leading up to the disaster. Their lawyer, James Kearney, says there is no insurance and the Buttle family are considering options after Judge Evangelos Thomas suggested the shareholders should provide the funds.
Obviously, that's correct. If shareholders have the funds, they can put the funds in. Simply put, Whakaari Management Limited doesn't have enough money to pay that sum, and the family will need to, behind it, will need to consider all of their options.
James Kearney has also delivered an apology from the Buttle family to the 22 killed and 25 injured in the eruption. In sports, and New Zealand's Jordy Beamish is still coming to terms with his World Championship success. Beamish has won the 1500-metre title at the World Indoor Champs in Glasgow. He came from 7th on the final lap, surging to the front 10 metres from the finish.
Total shock. Couldn't believe it. That was absolutely ridiculous. A lot to go, I thought, you know, I had a medal chance, like a shot at a medal, and then, you know, 100 to go, a medal, any colour. I found myself on the outside and legs were good.
The Black Fern Sevens have won back-to-back titles in the World Sevens Series with a 29-14 win over Australia in the final of the Los Angeles leg. New Zealand now sits just 4 points behind Australia on the overall standings, having also won last week's Vancouver tournament.
Thank you very much. That is Hannah Thomas. Wonderful. She is a very nice person. I've met her. Used to work with, Grant? I might say something wrong here. Okay, let's look at the weather, and then that's our lot for the day. It's 14 minutes past 6. Thanks very much for joining me here at The World at 5. Let's look at the weather. First of all, the extremes. Napier, 23.6 degrees. Taupo, 9.4 millimetres of rain is falling right now as we speak. New Plymouth Airport's the windiest with nearly 50 kilometres per hour of wind. And Tianau, you're the coolest with 7.8 degrees. Temperatures right across the main centre, Stewart Island, 11 degrees. Invercargill, 14. Dunedin, 13. Timaru, 17, along with Christchurch. And Blenheim's on 19, along with Nelson. The west coast of the South Island, a bit cooler there, 10 to 12 degrees. Chatham Islands has cooled off a wee bit, still 19 though. Down in Wellington, 17 degrees. Masterton, 20. 24 in Hastings and Napier. Taupo, 18, along with Rotorua. Gisborne's on 24. Hamilton, 19. Auckland and Whangarei are all on 20. And Kaitaia's, 21 degrees. The short forecast, valid until midnight tonight for North and Auckland, Coromandel Peninsula and the Bay of Plenty. Showers, some heavy with thunderstorms possible, easing this evening and then clearing from the Bay have plenty tomorrow afternoon. For Gisborne and Hawke's Bay, you've got mainly fine weather today, a period of rain today as well. Mainly fine weather, but a period of rain. And a chance of a shower tomorrow. Well, we certainly had that. Well, Hawke's Bay, I don't know, not there, am I? Just read it,
Grant.
All right, okay, I'll just read it. Waikato to Kapiti, including the central high country, rain and showers with downpours and thunderstorms possible, easing this evening. For Wellington to Wairarapa, a bit of rain there, with the downpours and thunderstorms as well, easing to isolated showers this afternoon. For Buller and Fiordland, you've got showers with heavy and with thunderstorms as well. Clearing tomorrow, though. For Nelson, Marlborough and Canterbury, fine spells, with isolated showers, of course, for good measure, mainly about the east coast tomorrow. For Otago and Southland, showers, some heavy, possibly thundery until morning, and then easing. Severe southwesterly gales possible tomorrow. For the Chatham Islands, rain developing tonight, possibly heavy, and showers tomorrow. Well, that's my lot. Thanks very much for joining me. Might see you tomorrow. Might be in a couple of days' time. We'll just have to see. If it's bad weather, I'll be on. If it's good weather, I might be out working. We'll see you later. Thanks for joining me.
So I've only been eating beef for...
Sorry, no, you've had that. We've done that to death, Jordan. I don't know what you're doing there. Okay, we're going now. Bye.
And New Zealand's migration is sitting at a net positive increase for a rolling 12 months of approximately 110,000 to 120,000 people, which is the largest we've ever seen net migration. We have a natural birth over deaths rate of anywhere from sort of 20 to 30,000 people a year. Let's be conservative and say 20. So our population's growing somewhere in the vicinity of 130,000 to 140,000 people per year. Now, the New Zealand median and house has 2.7 people living in it. So we need around that 40,000 houses a year. A lot of people say closer to 50 because you've got houses being demolished, houses becoming unlivable. And the data seems to always come in higher than we forecast. We reached our population of 5 million people 10 years before all the government forecasts. So that sort of number's about right. But the New Zealand construction industry can build somewhere in the vicinity of 25 to 30,000 houses a year, probably closer to 25. Yeah. And we're currently seeing record low building consents.
This has to be one of the best videos I've seen this entire week.
Dear leftists, I'm very happy to take part in this debate about democracy in Europe. So let me give you some example of very major democracy in Poland. Polish nation rejected you, dear leftists, 8 times. 8 times in a row you have lost elections in Poland. So get used to it, because you're gonna lose again. Let me give you some data about Poland and Polish democracy. The lowest unemployment in European Union is Poland. The highest GDP after COVID in European Union is Poland. One of the lowest debts in European Union is Poland. So don't give us this rubbish. We don't need your doctors. We don't need your engineers. Take them all and pay for them, because there's a zero terrorist attacks in Poland. Why? Because there is no illegal migration in Poland. So don't give me this look.
Hey, quick one. How many banks are there in Australia?
4.
Well, 95, but pretty much everyone uses one of 4. Huh. How many supermarkets?
2 main companies.
Insurance companies?
4 main ones.
Airlines?
Yeah,
3.5.
Wait, half?
Well, yeah, because Qantas owns Jetstar, so you can't really call that its own thing. And then there's Bonza, which is new and really small, and it doesn't fly into a lot of major cities, so call it 3.5.
Oh. How many mobile phone service providers?
3 main ones.
Power companies?
2 of them control half the market, and then there are some smaller ones too.
Aren't there like 27 million Australians?
Yeah.
And don't they say the best way to bring down prices is by adding more competition?
They do say that. Yeah.
I own 15,000 houses.
15,000 houses. Okay.
There's nothing wrong with buying a house.
Yeah.
Difference is I use debt to buy it.
Okay.
And I pay no taxes. It's not the house. It's not the stock. It's not the bond. It's not the ETF. It's your brains. So I would rather use debt and pay no taxes.
Can you explain that? How do you buy houses without...
Capitalism.
Right.
We use debt and we pay no taxes. That's what I teach.
Now. And now, another hour of the best of the 70s, 80s, 90s and noughties. This is The Wireless.